You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Rhett and our good friend Bucky is back from London. Buck, first of all, congrats on a successful trip there for you and your Jags. Two wins over there in London. How was this latest bounce back trip for you?
The latest bounce back was pretty good. I would tell you that it's probably not ideal to land in London at 10 a.m. the day of a game, do the game, and then fly back. But that's kind of what I had to, do. But I can say that now that I know, I think the Jaguars are going to start doing this annually, like two games, maybe the back-to-back thing. So I got to get used to it. Might be the thing.
Oh, boy.
Man.
We talked about it yesterday. We talked about it last week. Like, if they beat the Bills, man, what a like moment this will be for this season. And let's see if it propels them, right?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We'll talk about the Jags later, but it was like a mini training camp. They got to be away 10 days, got to get together, kind of get everything right. And then they feel like they should be good going forward.
And are you supporting the Jaguars with your with the print on your shirt today, Deej? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a combination. It's Chargers colors, but it's Jaguars print. So it's like kind of, you know, look, it's me and Bucky just kind of coming together, combining forces right there. I'll have you know, I almost made a par with this shirt on last week. Very close. It was very, very close.
Wow, look at you.
Anyways, all right, let's get to last night's game. Let's start there. Raiders get a much needed win in a game that was not necessarily pleasing on the eyes. The Packers, they come up short 17-13. Buck, I don't know how much you get a chance to see of this game. I think one of the biggest takeaways is just the fact that, man, Jordan Love, for all the chest bumping and thumping that our buddy Nabil was doing as a Packer fan after the first couple weeks, it does not look great as of late.
No, it didn't look great. Three interceptions yesterday. This team is just off in terms of just style of play and the way that I thought they were going to play, with the running game kind of leading it, him having to make plays. Just couldn't get it done. Ran around, threw it up, but just made some bad plays. And really, it was kind of reminiscent to his final season at Utah State where he had some egregious turnovers. But that turnover right there, I don't know what Nabil could do, because I would have been pulling my hair out. But just a lot of bad plays, a lot of missed throws, just bad ball.
Yeah, you know, especially, I mean, like they should have been going in for the win. I mean, that should have been a touchdown for the Packers to take the lead to Christian Watson. That ended up being an interception. He was just late on that throw. Now he did get pressured a little bit, I think, and Watson was open early. And then it just, you know, he tried to throw it late. I think at that point, you know, you just kind of take that thing down and live to play. I think it was third. So they had another shot after that point, but it ends up Amik Robertson, my fellow Louisianan, comes up with a huge play and a really nice interception in the back of the end zone to seal that thing for the Raiders. But I think you got to talk. I mean, this is Max Crosby, you know, just continues to be probably the most relentlessly aggravating player and talented player all wrapped up into one in the league. Like, I mean, the seven pressures he had essentially turned into plays that were either negative or very minimal gains. I think Jordan Love maybe scrambled out and got a few yards on one of the pressures he actually got. But the sack that he had was awesome, because it reminded me of my childhood watching Walker, Texas Ranger. DJ, I know you can relate to that, with Chuck Norris,
nice.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know how when, like, at the end, Chuck would get into these epic battles, right? With, like, it would be him versus probably 10 to 12 different guys. And I forget what his name was. Well, it's Cordell Walker, I think, was Walker. His name in the show. Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, the best part about it was all of those.
I'm sorry.
All of those.
Walker.
I was trying to find the first name. Okay. And so he, all those guys are super polite, right? They like wait their turn to get their whooping from Walker, right? And so like, I felt like that's what on that sack, you know, like they send like three layers of players at Max Crosby. Josiah DeGuara is the first one. He comes in and Crosby sets him down. And then the next guy is Ben Sims, the tight end, kind of comes over. He waits his turn and he gets some from Max Crosby. The running back, who was the third layer, he's like, he just kind of bugs out. He's like, I'm good with this. And Crosby eventually gets the sack. I mean, the dude, it's like you could put like multiple brick walls in front of him. He would find ways to break those things down on his way to the quarterback. It's just a lot of fun to watch.
I was trying to remember in that show, what did Walker do? What was his profession?
He was a Texas Ranger, I think. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he was a Texas Ranger. Oh my, it was right there. Put it together. Wow. Just
thinking of the first name.
Goodness gracious. Buck, a follow-up question on that. Now that we've got a chance to see the body of work, I'm always reluctant to do the Hall of Famer thing, but if right now in their prime, would you take Max Crosby or would you take Jared Allen?
Ooh. That's a good one. Max Crosby's been balling out of control. I think the difference is Jared Allen might have had a couple more double-digit sack seasons at this stage. Max Crosby's definitely closing the gap, but right now I would take Jared Allen. But it's a nice comparison because Crosby's coming on like gangbusters.
Yeah, I think he's a little – I mean, they're both crazy long, and they both have unbelievable effort. I think Max actually bends a little bit better than Jared did. Jared had so many different moves and so many different ways to win. But I think they're very similar in terms of just the length and the unbelievable energy and passion that they play with. And Rhett, you're right. He's somebody that is much attention as he does get, he deserves more because he's up there in that elite group of edge rushers in the NFL. All right, I want to throw up a board here so we can see these teams in the AFC that are sitting at 3-2 because – it's an interesting clump. You've got the Bills, you've got the Colts, you've got the Jags, the Ravens, and the Steelers. I think, especially if you look at, you know, Ravens, Steelers, Bills, I think they're probably hoping they only had one loss on the in that column right now. But all these teams sitting at 3-2, everything, though, still feels like it's in front of them. Is there, you know, it's kind of a, you know, it's a little bit above average, obviously, 3-2, Buck. But when you look at it, of that class of teams, Bills, Colts, Jags, Steelers, Ravens, is there one team for you that's still above that and maybe is even better than what their record is?
I would say this, and even though the Jacksonville Jaguars knocked off the Buffalo Bills, I still feel like the Bills are a dangerous team. And they're dangerous only in terms of Josh Allen's ability to put this team on his back gives them a chance to knock off anybody. The game on Sunday against the Jaguars were dominating the game, but – you know, 17 made enough plays to bring them back, to put them in a position to maybe win the game. And when you have a quarterback like that, it gives you a chance. I am willing to maybe hold out hope that the Buffalo Bills can get hot because they have a quarterback with MVP capabilities.
You know, I was kind of looking back at what the Bills have done in a couple of their losses this season. And I was like, why are they sitting here at 3-2, right? Well, you know, why did they lose week one? Why did they lose, you know, week five here against, you know, why did they lose week five against the Jags? And, you know, you kind of go back and you compile a couple of things from the season. They're feast or famine on defense, right? They're the number one sack team in football, right? Getting a ton of pressure on the quarterback, but they're giving up more explosive plays in the run game and the pass game than almost anybody. They're 31st in the league in allowing explosive runs and explosive passes. So it just kind of feels like, you know, if they don't get home, they're giving up big plays. And that's part of why they're probably finding themselves in these situations where, you know, Josh Allen is feeling like he's got to go out there and, you know, try to play some of that hero type stuff that, you know, really for a three game stretch kind of worked out of his game this year. And then, you know, in a couple of other, especially that opener, you know, just felt like, you know, you kind of had the good and the bad with Josh Allen. But I think it is kind of a complimentary thing there where the defense has given up a bunch of big plays and they've had some attrition in the secondary too, right? With Tre'Davious White out, now Matt Milano's out. And you kind of wonder if that defense can continue to kind of hold serve moving forward here.
Yeah, I still feel like in Buffalo, to put a bow on them, you've got the quarterback, you've got the coach, you've got the pass rush. Like the rest of it, I think they'll be able to figure it out. I think they could get on a little bit of a run here. Buck, your Jags, I think we're going to know a lot about your squad here once we get through this next month. October, what they have left. They've got the Colts,
who are playing well. You've got the mm-hmm. Saints coming off a huge win over the Patriots, who are a good football team. And they've got the Steelers, who are in this club with them. So I think these next three games, before they get into a stretch where you get San Francisco to start it off, I think this next three games, the month of October, is going to tell us a lot about the Jags.
Yeah, we'll tell a lot. Having been over in London, had a chance to talk with the coaches and the players. They're excited about what they were able to get done in London because it gave them a chance to reset and refocus. It was really a mini training camp. They're away for 10 days, didn't have the distractions of the city, no family around. And so they really got a chance to bond. And the thing that it did, it allowed them to really get on the same level when it came to their trust and the level of accountability, when it came to holding their teammates accountable for their own individual performances. You saw a team that was more connected, a team that executed better, and hopefully for all the Jags, they're able to kind of take that and use it as a launch point. But you're right. This next stretch with the Colts, Saints, Steelers, bye week, then Niners, you'll quickly see if the Jaguars are ready to be in that conversation as a contender, or will they scuffle just to be a playoff contender this season?
Yeah, and we go to the other team in that division that's on this list here, the 3-2 Colts. Guys, this Colts team, you look at it, that overtime loss with Puka Nacua with the walk-off in the Rams game, they pull that one out. They're sitting here at 4-1, despite having to juggle quarterbacks. So Anthony Richardson being hurt, Minshew stepping in. Looks like we'll get Minshew for a while now with that shoulder injury to Anthony Richardson. But they're a good football team. They're physical. They're really good up front along the defensive line as well. The two teams in the AFC North, let's start with the Steelers.
Yeah.
This is a Steelers team that, Rhett, when you look at it, it's not aesthetically pleasing at all, but they're finding a way to win these ball games, really being kind of carried by their defense. I feel like, man, this has been it's been impressive, and you know they're going to be over 500 because that's all Mike Tomlin does. But when you look at the schedule coming up, I think the offense, they're going to have to do a little bit more at the Rams, Jacksonville, and then you kind of get some games that are a little more in their favor. But to me, these next 2 weeks, they got to score. They got to get this offense clicking a little bit. It's not pretty.
Well, and DJ Buckley, what have we talked about a lot? What did we talk about going into the season about the Steelers? It was a commitment to upgrade the offensive line, right? And to get better up there. They draft Broderick Jones. And he's actually, I think he had his best game of the season this past week after barely playing in the first 3 weeks. So they put him out at left tackle. And I think he's kind of starting to rock and roll a little bit. Now, here's the thing that kind of, you know, makes you scratch your head a little bit is this is a team that's still 62% pass. Right. And if you're going to make that commitment to the offensive line and you're going to try to, you know, get things back to playing Steeler football, got to find a way to run the football a little bit here. Right. I mean, they've scored 5 touchdowns. You know how many of them come on the ground? 0. And their yards before contact, it's less than 1 right now. So Najee Harris is having trouble getting going. I mean, you go back to the Browns game, it was at negative a yard, right? So they were in, you know, the Browns defensive front is in the backfield before they could even get things going beyond the line of scrimmage there. I feel like for this Steelers team to really kind of continue making some hay, and because we saw, like, when you give George Pickens an opportunity one-on-one, Kenny Pickett's going to put it out there for him, right? You saw that at the end of the game against the Ravens, but they got to find a way to control the game with the run a bit more. It feels like that's their formula. It kind of always has been. It should be their formula moving forward, and then still have that threat of the explosive pass game, Buck.
Yeah, I'm with you, because this defense is good enough to kind of keep them in the conversation, but it's the offense that has to get up to speed. We're looking for more of the offensive line dominance at the point of attack. Want to see more Najee Harris being able to run it. But really, this is going to come down to Kenny Pickett, his performance and the play of the perimeter playmakers. We have seen him kind of fall in love with George Pickens on the perimeter. We'll see what happens with Dante Johnson and some of these other guys. But this team not only has to be balanced, but they have to be able to find a way to generate explosive plays. The only way you score in the National Football League is you have to generate big plays. You need big plays to move and flip the field. The Steelers have to get the consistency of the running game while still making sure they generate enough big plays in the passing game.
And when you flip it over to the other team, the last team we'll hit on here, the Baltimore Ravens sitting here at 3-2. Again, they could very easily, a ball goes here or there, they could be sitting here undefeated. And as much as we've talked about how great the Steelers' defense has been, the Ravens' defense played really well as well. They're only giving up 15 points a game. They're tied for second in the league. So they're playing great on that side of the ball. They got to catch it better. There was 7 drops in that game last week against the Steelers. This pass game still sitting at 26th, Buck. I mean, I think it's there. I would be encouraged of all these teams, I think, if I were the Ravens, and that I think there's more growth here. They haven't clicked yet, and I feel like it's out there for them. The plays are there. They just got to make them.
Yeah, it hasn't clicked. And you talk about the 7 drop passes. I mean, there's some bad drops, some high school level drops from the wide receivers of the Ravens. And this is a team that is making really an offensive shift, going all in with Lamar Jackson throwing the ball all over the yard. And the biggest question that anyone ever had, are they good enough on the perimeter to be able to do it? Right now, it doesn't look like that. But this, the great thing about the league is there's time. There's time to develop. There's time to figure it out. And maybe they can figure it out. But right now, it's been an underwhelming offensive performance due to really a spotty passing game.
Yeah, I mean, DJ and I talked about it on the Monday pod. It was just, it was a comedy of errors. You know, started in the second quarter down in the red zone with Mark Andrews' uncharacteristic drop, then Rashad Bateman, and then the block punt. Lamar's throwing an ill-advised, fade route to OBJ that gets picked off, and it just kind of snowballed on him. They're better than that. I think the Ravens are going to be okay here. I think they've got enough on defense. You know, you get Marlon Humphrey back a little bit more comfortable, in the lineup, and, you're probably not seeing him out there on the island against, George Pickens, that way until he gets up to, wherever he needs to be 100%. Because when healthy, he's one of the best in the game. So I feel like they're gonna find a way here. Baltimore is to get this thing rolling. I do kind of wonder, kind of like the Steelers, outside of the Lamar Jackson run game, like, can they find enough with Justice Hill and with Gus Edwards? Because it just hasn't felt that way for much of this season with J.K. Dobbins out.
Yeah, missing some of that running back production. Still, they're fourth in the league because Lamar adding his legs into that mix and still being such a big threat.
We want him to be healthy at the end of the year.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying, like, we want to be careful with that.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. All right. Speaking of those Ravens here, the NFL London games march on exclusively on NFL Network. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens face off with Derrick Henry and the Titans live from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Rise, shine, and watch a full day of football. It's Sunday morning football, Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. Learn more at NFL.com/international. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's rookie draft time. Spoiler alert, Bucky's doing well, Rhett's not. We'll get to that right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here, and this is NFL Plus, where you can catch every play all in one place. You get access to live, local, and primetime games on your mobile phone and tablet. That's every in-market game with you on the go.
I never knew that was a thing.
Oh, yeah? And here's my favorite part. You can stream NFL Red Zone live every Sunday. What are you waiting for?
Game time, baby. Let's go.
Go to plus.nfl.com. Sign up today.
Oh, there you go. A little plug there from Scotty Hansen. Last week, the rookie draft went well for Bucky. He got 3 points from Bryce Young. He also got 3 points from Puka Nacua. So he comes away with 6. Me and Rhett, we tied with 3 apiece. I got the Achan 3. He got 1 point each. He was a second-place finisher all the way down the board with Stroud, Spears, and Flowers. By the way, Spears. I'm going back through my notes from last week, and it looked like you took Gibbs. There, Rhett. Yeah. So how the heck did you get a point for a guy that you didn't even take?
What was that?
As it turns out, the injury report was updated a little bit as we got closer to game time, and turns out Jahmyr Gibbs was inactive. So
okay, so that's so what's have to do with,
just like a good fantasy manager, subbed him out and then subbed Tajay Spears back in. So don't worry about it.
Oh,
I'm taking care of it.
So we can do last. Well,
I hit the waiver wire.
But wait a minute. Were you the first position on the waiver wire? I mean, was he in first position on the waiver wire?
Well, yeah, because I was in last place coming out of last week. So I was definitely first position. Yeah.
Overall for the season, Buck is in a commanding lead now. He's in first place. I'm in second. I've got some ground to make up. And Rhett's just trying to, trying to get back in the mix. But these creative tactics that he's using, yeah, maybe that'll help.
Well, the good thing, I'm like Mario Cristobal. I'm not going to take a knee. I'm going to keep running the ball. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Okay. Well, you might fumble then.
All right. No Richardson this week. Well, that was terrible. No Richardson this week. So we're going to take quarterbacks off the table. We're going to go back to what we've done a few weeks ago, which is a tight end, a wide receiver, running back. As it turns out, I have the first pick, which the longer we do this rookie draft, the more I'm realizing you don't want the first pick. I'd rather be in that two hole because I think you've got a chance to get two winners there picking in that second spot. Anyways, first pick, I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson here with the first pick. I think he's been the first pick darn near every single week, but I'm going to go Bijan. Yeah. I feel like that's a guaranteed 3 points for me. I need it. Got to have it. Buck, you're up.
Ooh, since you're going running back out the gate, I'm not going to go there because the running backs have been a little inconsistent. So let's go with are the Rams up? Did the Rams have a bye week?
Because no,
they don't have a bye. They're playing.
Okay, so I'm gonna take Puka. I'm gonna take a wide.
Going Puka.
Yeah, smart okay. Move.
Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and lock up my 3 points now and get old Sammy Laporta in at tight end.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, yep. Wow! Look at you.
So yes. Got my not a whole lot of the rookie tight ends making big time impacts right now. So Laporta far and away the winner there. So give me Sammy, and then I will lock up. I don't know if I can go Gibbs again and then have to, hit the waiver wire if he's not available. So I don't think I'm going to do
that. It's a great luxury to have.
I mean, yeah. It is. Yeah, I am still first in the waiver wire priority, which is great. Nice. But I think in that light, I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to go Tajay Spears.
Tajay Spears. All right. Okay. All right. Tajay Spears. Great. Tajay Spears. I am going to go because I get a running back. I'm going to go a little off the grid, but I'm hoping that it pays off for me. How about Zach Charbonnet from the Seattle Seahawks being my running back as well?
Yep.
I
appreciated that because that allows me to get the tight end that I want as well as the receiver that I want. So I'll go first with Jordan Addison. Justin Jefferson gone. That means a lot of balls going Jordan Addison's way. I feel great about that pick. Although I will tell you, if it had fallen another way, if Bucky had gone receiver there, I was going to go with the Tar Heel with Josh Downs to get a new name in the mix. He was on the list there. He was third, but and I've got my second guy, so I'm going to go Jordan Addison, and then I'm going to go Dalton Kincaid.
He's on my list too, as it turns out.
Is going to be my tight end there. So I come away with Bijan, Addison, and Kincaid. Bucky, you are up next.
Okay, so look, we saw him play a little bit last night, and I don't think the Raiders have bye, so I'm going to go with Michael Mayer? Can I go with the Raiders?
Michael Mayer, yeah. Mayer?
Can I go with him? Yeah, Mayer. Let's go with Michael Mayer.
Okay. Right,
so we're all good.
Yeah, and I like, Josh Downs, six catches on six targets last week from Gardner Minshew. Kind of wonder, now that Gardner, is back in the saddle here for the next couple of weeks, if that target share is only going to increase for Downs. So I'm liking that. But Zay Flowers, it's just consistent, and he's essentially the number one wide receiver.
If he catches the ball, you would have had 100 last week.
Yeah, I know. Give me Zay here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I finish up with Laporta, Tajay Spears, and Zay Flowers.
Nice. And unless something were to happen to any of these guys, maybe in the first quarter, second quarter, then you can just make a call to Drew and then throw somebody else in the mix.
Yeah, we can definitely sub that right in. It's going to be great.
And I love it. Look, you don't have to go by. You don't have to run. I guess Drew is commissioner, but you don't have to run anything by the board or anything. You just, new rules.
No, it's nice.
No question.
It's
learned nice about deal. It today. That's fantastic. Yeah, good for you. Yeah. By the way, one name I want to mention here that we didn't draft, but it was in the mix here. And I think if he plays like he did last week, he is going to end up getting drafted by us. Jaleel McLaughlin for the Broncos, the running back. I went back and was looking through my notes on him because he was out of Youngstown State. He's undersized, a little over 5'8", 192 pounds. He ran 4.44. The nuggets on him, huge production. He can press and bounce. Had a big 64-yard screen against Kentucky, which is interesting because he scored on the screen last week against the Jets. I see this is a really fun change of pace back. And if you think about Sean Payton kind of having that guy to use in the passing game, undersized, quick, athletic, you know, there's a long list of guys he's had success with going back to Darren Sproles, probably the first one there. So a fun player there for the Broncos to keep an eye on in the future. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Fun rookie draft again. Bucky has got the lead, but we are chasing him down. I feel good about my draft. I like my guys that I've got here. Bijan Robinson, Jordan Addison, Dalton Kincaid. Maybe this could be, I need a 9-point week. Who knows? Maybe that'll get me in the mix here. Try and catch up to Buck. But again, appreciate you guys hanging with us today. It's been a fun episode. Again, we've got 5 a week, so one each and every day. Do us a favor and download, subscribe, leave us a comment. We do appreciate those. And we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.